We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, on the bottom left-hand side, if you're watching on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat, or you're a part of our YouTube audience, is our producer and co-founder, Brian Goins.
What's up, S-I-M-B?
What'd you say?
What's up, S-I-M-P?
Oh, simp. Since we are getting it in before Twitch starts banning the word simp. As you can see on the screen, my name is Edelgard Simp. If you don't know who Edelgard is, Google her. She is a revolutionary that will free us from the clutches of the... from the Church of Foldland. On the left-hand side, you can see our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
Howdy.
Chat's asking if that's Max Struss in the corner. No, that's actually Tom Haberstroh. Tom Haberstroh has gained a little weight. He's doing a very kind thing by coming on our show. Thank you, Tom, for coming on.
No problem. I'm better than you, and I know it.
It's such a visual gag because Tom Haberstroh's been on our show. Okay, we won't say mean things about Tom, but you just look just like
I'll say mean things about Tom.
You'll say whatever you want.
Follow me on Twitter.
What are you drinking? Wait, what are you drinking, Jack?
It's white wine. No, it's red wine.
Red wine. Black wine. It's black wine.
I can't see. We're blind. On the bottom of the screen, you can see our 2K coach, Frankie.
What it do, guys?
So we are here. We have this meeting of the minds. We have this gathering today to talk a couple things. We never really got to get into the first preseason game and kind of break it down. We did our post-game stream hangover time. You can check that out after every Miami Heat game on Twitch and on YouTube. So check out our YouTube channel as well. And if you're part of our YouTube audience, give us a little subscribe. Also, if you're on Twitch, give us a subscribe, give us a sub, send us some love, send us some bits. Let's build community. But for real, like if you are part of our YouTube audience, we really, really need that subscription. That really helps our numbers a lot. And we want to do this more full time. So any little bit helps. And we really appreciate your support through the season and these last 8 years. So thank you guys very much for all that. And if you can help us leave a review on iTunes, all that good stuff, blah, blah, blah. Thank you to Blue Wire. You guys are awesome, our network. So you can catch our hangover time show after every Heat game. Alf, 954, aka Alphonse Sydney, he Twitter president, is hosting. Shout out to Clutch Adams in the chat. We really appreciate you coming in. Clutch is a friend of the show, reporter extraordinaire. His information is as good as anyone. So check out that on Friday. As you can see, Jack's holding up an I Love Al sign. And if you're part of our podcast audience, take a listen. We post all of them on the feeds anyway. So
wait, I like this bit that Jack's doing. I think we need to keep this. Just keep writing. You're going to be like the, who's the guy from Around the Horn? The white Woody dude. Woody Page. Used to write like random
I'm
shit.
Almost as handsome as him.
Do that. Too. That's your bit from now on. Every time you're on, bit. Write something on
I have
there.
Better eyebrows.
Jack is writing things and pulling them on the screen. So, Frankie, I want to talk preseason basketball, which is a funny thing to say because preseason usually means squat shit. But I really want to get into some of the things that we saw, particularly from KZ Akpala and Precious. I want to talk first about KZ's defense, because if we look at the way that this Heat roster is constructed, I think that the biggest question mark for them contending for a championship is who is going to play their power forward minutes in the crunch. Like when it matters against good teams, against Jason Tatum, against the Lakers, against LeBron, against Kawhi Leonard, against Pascal Siakam, against the elite Giannis, against these elite kind of fours, right? These really big and quick fours, who's going to guard them? And I think that Mo Harkless is kind of a placeholder for that. And I'm not sure if he's going to be able to guard bigger, faster guys. So one of the things we've talked about is kind of KZ maybe taking that role if he's going to be ready. And Frankie, it didn't really look that way. I mean, Ingram is another one of those guys, those kinds of wings that he's going to have to defend. And it looked kind of rough for him.
Yeah, he kind of looked timid, I would say. On both ends, especially offensively, but defensively, you know, he had in the preseason, he's got Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, very tall task to ask of the young fella. So I wouldn't take too much from it. I want to see, you know, I want to see him compete. You know, him getting dunked on, it doesn't mean anything towards his defense. It's all about, you know, getting better. How long has he gone without playing an actual game at this point?
Forever.
It's been like 10 months. So you got to give him a little bit of slack. They say he looks great in practice. He practiced well in the bubble. So that you take with that and we work from there. You want to see him gain some confidence. There was no summer league, no G League. He's got, this is his first real game speed. You got to give him a break.
I think there was one possession. Remember when Ingram totally dunked on him and destroyed him? Like that was a possession where he's doing everything right in the pick and roll, but he just kind of stops. Like he's going under that. He's ducking under that screen. And when Ingram turns a corner, he doesn't really step up. He just kind of stays in no man's land. And I think that that's one of the things that's hardest for young players, you know, like kind of like when you're in that position, do I step up? Do I park myself? Am I scared of the pull up? Is he going to go to the rim? And I think kind of that action a little bit off screens is it's going to be hard with Jack holding up words to the screen as we're trying
to
talk.
To acknowledge it. Just I know, but
it's just funny. It's just funny. It's going to be hard. I think
thanks for the bits.
I know. I'll
use some like weird robot bit thing and I'm confused. Why is there?
I'm really
like
proud
poop?
Of Alf.
What is this
Alf's
thing here, next to him? Is that a poop?
Alf's here on Discord.
Oh,
Alf's
a diamond.
On,
it looks like a poop.
On Twitch. Alf's like 50 years old, and Alf learning technology, or he Twitter president, and Alf learning technology is a big thing. Jack, I know that you are part of the KZ Akpala hashtag free KZ movement. I don't know how you felt about him. I think that there were bright spots. I think that there weren't. I think that he's clearly not where I thought he'd be. And again, this is just one preseason game and Brandon Ingram's an elite scorer. So I feel like it's a little unfair to look at him this way, but I also think that there are a couple things to kind of keep a closer eye on game two against Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, well, it was preseason, the first game of preseason. He's definitely not going to be ready immediately. What you hope is that by the playoffs, he's kind of in rhythm and like in tune with the rest of the defense. But, I mean, I see some of the chat talking about Harden. We've talked about Harden, like, almost every episode.
A million times.
So I'm not going to talk about Harden. But I do think with those like recent Spoelstra quotes about wanting to win now for Jimmy, whether it's for a star or whether it's for some other like piece, I do think this is a team that looks like a pre-deadline trade team. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree with you. That's I 100% agree. Last year
they made a trade and it launched them into the finals. They gave up young assets. In a kind of controversial move, they gave up young assets for older guys who cemented their defensive rotation, and it took them to the finals. I see that happening again this year if an opportunity presents itself.
And that's why I specifically kind of started with Harkless, because I really think he's a good placeholder for the regular season. And I want to get into some of the other vets that they played yesterday, but like, I think, and we're going to talk a lot about Jay Crowder this year, because it's not only his ability to guard up a position and play a little bigger than he is, it's the gun happiness of shooting the three. And I think we saw in that first game, Eric Spoelstra, the message is clear to Mo Harkless: if you're open, you shoot it. Right. And I thought that was encouraging, that it wasn't just corner stuff. Like, Harkless had a couple from the corner. He had another three from the wing. Like, I think that the more he's going to take, the better it's going to be for this offense, because he's going to be open, because teams aren't going to guard him like a shooter. What are you laughing at, Brian?
Al says for 500 bits, we'll show you his cargo shorts.
Look at that. Okay, well, we'll make a sub bowl too. Yeah, well, we're going to do that. Listen, if you're not going to tune in on Friday for the Hangover postgame show, Hangover Time postgame show, you're missing out, because it's going to be really, really fun. That's also going to be on YouTube, by the way. So if you're part of the YouTube audience, we're trying to kind of get people over to Twitch. So we're going to kind of alternate postgame shows, one on YouTube, one on Twitch, to kind of get y'all over under the Twitch umbrella. What happened, Jack?
Alf makes an interesting point in the chat. He says Spain pick and roll.
Yeah,
and to that,
you're in Spain. You're in Spain.
Yeah. Drop scheme.
Okay, yeah.
What about that? Think about food for thought.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, if we actually want to talk drop scheme, I thought, Frankie, that was kind of interesting to me. How even though they started Bam at center, they were dropping.
I'm not too surprised. That's probably going to be what they go to for the season. And then towards, you know, end of games, certain situations, they'll use that switch system a lot more. Definitely with the rotation too. Like, you don't want to go heavy switching when you have, you're starting Tyler, Nunn, and Duncan, you know. And one more thing about KZ, I do want to see him more involved next game. Because I don't think he had a rebound. He didn't have an assist. He took he hit the 1-3, but he didn't do anything else. You know, like that's I need him aggressive. I'd rather him be aggressive and make mistakes than just shy away from playing and not do anything.
He needs to do more than that one dribble move. Kind of to piggyback off your point, like, he needs to do more than one dribble pass, one dribble shoot. Like, he needs to show the ball skill.
And he has that in his game. He can make plays off the dribble. He can slash. He can attack a closeout. He might even be that big man to slip a screen and make a play of 4-on-3. He can handle a little bit, and he's vision. I want to see that in his game, and I'm sure the coaches do too. Want to see him make aggressive mistakes.
Like, with him, he's also in the weird situation where he's not like guaranteed playing time, right? Like, yeah. He comes in that, and I think that maybe he might be scared. Well, if I'm showing off my ball skills and I'm turning it over and I'm dribbling into traffic and I'm dribbling into help, you know, I might not get minutes, right? So I think maybe he might be playing a little more conservative. And if you look at Mo Harkless is playing like a vet that knows, like, I'm going to play regardless. Like, no matter what happens here, like, y'all need me. So I'm going to let it fly. Right. And I think KZ kind of played like a guy that doesn't want to mess up, which is not a good place for a young player to be, which is why you tend to see, like, you know, younger teams only add a few vets and kind of give them run, because you really want them kind of room to make mistakes.
Yeah. And it's been the Heat's reputation since the Riley days where they don't like young guys because they don't know their role. They're too timid. They make too many mistakes. And it's why it's hard to judge young guys like that. But I want to see I'm sure Spo's the kind of coach who's like, go ahead, make your mistakes. I don't care. Do what you need to do. We want to see the talent. He tries to instill the confidence. And you've seen that really heavily ever since the, I would say probably since LeBron's left, when they've had more young fellas and they've had to play more young guys and undrafted guys like Tyler and James Ennis, going back to those legendary days.
So a couple of things before we move off KZ. One, by the way, shout out to Tiff for following us. Tiffany, you can find her on our post game streams as well. She's incredible. Tiffany Meeks. So she says maybe KZ doesn't have as much in his bag as we think he does. That's a fair point. I mean, we have really romanticized this kid. Like we're getting to justice levels of romanticization of his game. I think we saw stuff in the Sacramento game, and I think you get infatuated with kind of the size, the length, just the kind of body type that guy has, just so prototypically good in the NBA. Like that, that's the one thing. You just kind of look at the kind of the physical gifts and you're just like, that's something that I really like. I just have really high expectations for it. Somebody else said, if you would trade KZ for Jay Rich in a damn second.
Oh, absolutely.
How good would Josh be on this team?
Josh would be a perfect fit.
He'd be great. I said on Twitter like a couple weeks ago, if KZ gives us what Derek Jones gave us this year, that's a win.
That's a win.
That's fine.
I think he has more upside in terms of like an offensive player than Derek. I think Derek
KZ can dribble more than once.
I think Derek had a lot of limitations as a defender too. I think he was a little overrated defensively because I just think like his weight made it difficult. And I'll never forget at the end of the Clipper and the Laker game, you know, they have him kind of boxing out during a free throw rebound and he's just getting pushed out the way by like Kawhi, by the guys he's guarding. And it's not his fault. Like he just doesn't have that body type. So I think with KZ, you look at a guy that is getting stronger, is still young. So enough with KZ. That was just, I just really wanted to get into that because I really do think that if they're going to really reach another gear, they're going to need somebody to step up other than the guys that we already think are going to step up. And I think KZ was kind of our first choice. Going back to what we were talking about, drop, Frankie, like I agree with you. I think they're going to switch a little more later in the season, but I thought the starting of one big was interesting, especially for preseason game one.
Yeah. I mean, I think it took all of us off guard. Of course, you know, like you want like Spo is the king of Spotations. So we have no idea where it's going to go. He could start Myers next game. We don't know. I thought it was an interesting look. I personally wouldn't want Bam to start at the five all season. Just because I think he's stronger at the four to start, and then
you're crazy about.
No, I just think like it's he's coming off a short off season where he just had a major shoulder and neck injury. I want to save his
health. Okay, but that's better. But he's not stronger, better at the four. Like get out of here.
I think defensively he's a much better four because they're especially because of the Heat's roster situation. They don't have a four.
Well, like I guess in this situation and Jack, I want to kind of get you in on this. Like I think when he's a four, he can play more defense on ball, but I don't even think they're going to want that. Right. Like, so those quick speedy fours that we were talking about, like he can guard them, but I think you kind of want him kind of helping and in pick and roll, not really, you know, on those four men that are, you know, like, I don't want him away from the plays. I want him in help situations.
Yeah, I totally agree with Frankie, and I also agree with you. I think I want him at the four basically in the entire regular season, except for in select spots. I think this is not a regular season team. This is a championship winning team. At the end of the day, he's the center. Like, at the end of the day, he's the center, but the flexibility is part and parcel of what he gives you. So
like when the games matter, when things are important, when the playoffs start and when games matter, and at the end of games, it's going to be Bam at the five for every important moment this season. I'm listening to Lowe and I'm listening to like all these national pods and they talk about, well, the Miami's for sure going to start Bam at center because they've really committed to that. And I don't disagree that that's their best version of themselves, but I do think that there's something to be said of preserving bodies by playing him at the four. Now, I could be dead wrong, and Bam could be saying, I'm fucking ready to, I'm committing to playing the five and whatever. Because Miami has a weird situation that whatever four that they play is going to be undersized, and that's going to put a huge strain on their defense. So it's going to put a lot on Bam, and he's going to be banging with center, and he's going to have to be flying everywhere, which, to be honest with you, if he wants to, I saw people tweeting about Bam's MVP odds. If that's going to be something that happens, that's going to be him at center, and it's going to be him doing everything on both ends of the floor. So I was a little surprised that they went one big, but it's what I would like. Like, I think theoretically, Brian, you want them to play small. That's their best version. But I think that we've been talking, going under the assumption that after they signed Myers, that, okay, they're just going to ride two bigs.
They could trade him. Trade deadline, they can trade him.
Buyers,
yeah. Honestly, the guy I think that would fit perfect on his team. I mean, even if they don't get Harden, I think the guy they should try to get from Houston, if they can get him on the package too, would be PJ Tucker.
I mean, the money just gets really hard adding. You have to have a third.
It
team.
Gets a lot easier towards the deadline, so it could be something where he can make the move for Harden now, and then come back to the trade deadline, make the move for PJ Tucker.
And by the way, like, I know people are going to say, well, Harden has a no trade. Myers has a no trade clause. I mean, I think we're under the assumption that they gave him the Miami Heat said, hey, Myers, listen, we're going to give you this $10 million contract with an option that we're going to decide, and you're not going to get this money anywhere else. So if we're going to trade you for what we need, you know, waive your no trade clause, and we're going to give you this contract you're not going to get anywhere else. Yeah, chat's in on PJ Tucker. I'm in on PJ Tucker too. I mean, he'd be ideal. Like, he'd be perfect because he can do, he's better than Jay Crowder at everything, and he'd be amazing. I find that difficult.
And your small ball five lineups with PJ Tucker will actually work as opposed to the Jay Crowder bleeding blood of the
no, that's Andre
C's.
At center. Fucking Andre. No,
they said that, but it was really Jay and Andre at the 4-5. So it was the same shit. it was just blood.
It was bad. Go like ahead, chat, like chat's out on Myers starting. I'm kind of out on it too, but I just thought that was gonna be where they went. What you got?
Well, Jack? No matter what happens, at the end of the day, Bam is gonna be finishing games at centers. At the end of the day. But Frankie brought up Noah Vonleh, who just got waivered the other day.
Got waivered?
He got waved. Released. He got waived. Really? Are you going to lecture me on little semantics?
What?
Okay. He got waived. I think he would be a good addition. They need an extra big. I don't really know about their roster space, but I know... COVID has forced the NBA to kind of expand the roster size. I don't know if that was official. I saw that they were considering that. The active roster size. I like Noah Vonleh a lot. He's a Hoosier. I'm a Hoosier. I love my Hoosiers. And he was a bad Hoosier, but I would love a Hoosier. And at the end of the day, the Heat need bigs.
Take a shot every time Jack says end of the day.
Shout out to Alex Toledo. So Clutch Adam makes a good point in our chat. Does a trade for Tucker with Miami come with a contract extension that he's been begging for? So it kind of depends to me. We talked this on a couple pods ago where, like, if Miami does get Harden, right? So they're going to be with Harden, Bam, and Jimmy in 2021. They're going to be right at the salary cap. It's going to be like 108, 109, that salary figure, the three of them in the salary cap. Was 109 this season. So they're going to be right at that line with just those three guys. And if they somehow, I think if they're getting Tucker, then I think Duncan's pretty much gone at that point. I don't know how else you can do that. And then, you know, then you're paying four guys a lot of money and that fourth guy is 35 years old. So it's kind of tough. And that's a really good point that Adam makes about PJ, because I don't really know if the Heat are going to commit to paying a guy his age with those kinds of miles, those kinds of grinded, intense, like, they're not even Thibodeau miles. They're probably worse because that dude has been guarding fives and doing, dude, Houston put him through the fucking ringer. And that's going to be tough.
And they just did that for Andre Iguodala.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't know. That's kind of a tough thing. So, switching gears a little bit to our guy, Precious Achiuwa. I liked his debut. I liked him flying to the rim. I liked him as a screen and diver. I'm excited to see how that looks with Goran. I thought out of all the guys that really debuted, and the last guy we're going to talk about, oof, he didn't have a good game, but Precious. I love the screen action, the activity on both ends, just the athleticism jumps out, which is this team needs that. It just needs a freak athlete to play with Bam. I see the vision, Frankie. I see the vision.
Yeah, he was used pretty much entirely as the five on offense. Yeah. You saw his athleticism. You saw he was tough finishing inside in traffic over guys way bigger than him. So I think that's clearly the role that he's going to play, being that backup five on offense. And his versatility on defense. We did get to see a lot of the versatility on defense. Nothing really like stood out. He looks solid though. Like you want the young guys to not look out of place, and he looked solid. I'm sure he's getting plenty of great coaching from the bigs, telling him where to be. And when he was in the game, I think he played a little bit with Myers, and I heard Myers yelling to tell him where to be. And Precious listened. To his credit, he was in his spots, and that's what we need. We need bigs who can handle the DHO, set good screens, clear out the point of attack defenders for Duncan and Tyler and Goran to be able to let it fly.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, and with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore, Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short-term list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try it with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. The wait is finally over. Football is back. And you might not be at the game this year, but you will be on in the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you the most options to wager than anyone else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head over to BetOnline today and take advantage of the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So I want to clear up something, and Alf in chat brings up a good point. We've been hammering Precious for following OAN and Newsmax and Trump and all these people. He also follows Biden and Harris. So we're being fair. We're being fair, media members. We're reporting the whole story. We were informed on Twitter. So we're letting people know
that. That definitely wasn't the case on draft night, though. We went through.
Do you think he heard our show? I have no idea what Jack's doing right now on his
screen. I know what Jack's doing. He's doing.
I don't know. Jack's working on the bit.
I'm going to work on it for the next stream.
You work on it. You work on it. You work on the bit.
I'm coming for you, Brian. I'm coming for you.
Brian's scared. I liked Precious kind of playing at the five, as like Frankie was talking about. I think that we've talked a bit about him maybe being a wing for this team. At 6'9", he's not like your traditional center size, but he can play that way. He is a 7'2 wingspan, really, really long. He can switch on defense.
I'm a fan of his. Like, I gotta be honest with you. Like, I love his game. I love the fit. I was critical of it on draft night, but like, I'm not gonna question this organization anymore, especially who they draft. Like, it was. Brian, did you like watching him play? Like, I was really impressed.
I wanted to see him do more stuff defensively. It looked like he was lost at points of the second half where he played. I don't know if it's just a matter of him like honestly not getting enough reps. Probably haven't really done much 5-on-5 work until this past week. So if you gotta imagine, like, he really hasn't been on the court doing 5-on-5 for how many months until just this past week. So, I mean, it's going to be a while before we actually see him probably make the rotation. I don't think he's going to start the season off the bench. I think he's going to have to earn his minutes just through practices and stuff. We're probably going to see a lot of KZ minutes to start off the season, and they'll probably ease him in the rest of the way. It sucks that they're not going to have a G League this year.
It's so hard, man. It's going to suck. I mean, they're having a G League, but it's not a traditional G League.
I don't think I can actually say, but I did find out why that they're not going to have a G. Well, they're not doing CFALs this year, and there's a good reason. I just can't say.
Okay.
I learned this today from sources.
There we go.
Oh, draft Brian's exposed. Brian's draft night.
I don't know how visible that is.
That wasn't my draft night.
No, this was a draft night.
No, he said this a couple weeks ago.
This was in the playoffs.
What does the tweet say, Brian? Read it for the podcast audience. Why did you say that?
So we have a group chat in our Miami Heat beat Solomon Hill fan club that's now called Lefty Lay Saucy Nuggets. And, there's stuff on there that I will never tweet publicly. Let's just put it that way when we live tweet games.
That doesn't explain anything. Defend yourself.
I said Bantz. He might have missed. I think he might have missed some dunks. Sucked. That's probably all it was.
I remember.
That's probably
you
all it was.
You fucking suck.
No, I remember. This was,
hate that chat during games. It's just not fun.
The chat is the worst. But no, Brian said this when Bam came back from in the finals with injury and he was struggling to like move and do anything.
Then he torched the Lakers in the second half.
Was that when it was? Yeah. That's the worst.
I fucking hate you. You're the worst, Brian. You suck.
Because Brass gave you shit for tweeting that. He's like, bro, he's playing with a bad shoulder and a bad neck. He can't even turn his head.
Brian's the most emotional fan. Like, Brian's just like not a very happy guy in general, especially during games.
My defense, he did kind of fucking suck.
He turned it up in the second half. You're an asshole.
No,
I
don't think
you.
It was that game. I think it was the game two games before Jimmy one out.
I don't think it was game six either. It was
I think it was game
that.
Three actually. Or four.
Whenever
four.
He came
I think
back.
It was four,
like game three or game four. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so the last guy I really want to talk about in preseason, who really did fucking
suck. We're not
going to
talk about the COVID article.
We are going to talk about the COVID article, but I want to talk about it. Jack and I read the article.
Made me do homework for this episode, and then nobody else
someone's
did their
tell
homework.
Me what happened
we're
going to
talk about
a quote from, what's his name? The guy from the Pacers. Apparently, he's not going to get the vaccine.
Miles Turner.
Turner.
Wait, spoiler alert. We're going to get to the vaccine article in a second. I want to talk about how Avery Bradley fucking sucks. Like, quietly, Avery Bradley was as bad as Max Strus. Like that preseason game, we shit on Max Strus this entire post game show here, and in reality, the really bad one was Avery Bradley. My goodness,
Max Strus
racist. Max Strus was bad, but Avery Bradley was worse, and that surprised me. I mean, let's also remember that Avery Bradley has not played a competitive basketball game in 9 whole months. Because he didn't go to the bubble. He opted out of the bubble. And I think he might have even been hurt before the bubble.
No, the reason he didn't play in the bubble is because he had there was somebody in his family that was that could have. I mean, obviously the bubble was probably the best place to be at the time, but there was somebody in his family that could have, either immunocompromised or something like that. Yeah.
Was at risk.
Yeah. So he opted not to play, and he hadn't played since March, as Chad pointed out. 9 months without playing basketball. The time it takes for a baby to form life. It's a long time, and he did not play basketball, and boy, did it look bad. I don't see him starting, Frankie. I just don't. I think he's going to need time to get to basketball shape, and especially with the shortened training camp, I don't think he's going to be in Heat shape. I think it's going to clearly be, I think Tyler's probably going to be the guy starting. alongside probably Duncan, Jimmy, Bam, and Harkless. I think that that's probably going to be the starting five. And that's kind of what they rolled out in the preseason game. But it just makes too much sense given kind of if they're really going to commit to Bam at center. And if Avery's just not ready, I think Nunn has kind of comfortably lost that spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked bad. But
Nunn looked good either. Ooh.
Yeah, ooh. Both of them looked terrible.
Albert Ahmad's tweeting right now about ways to get James Harden.
He did
tweet saying that he can acquire both James Harden and PJ Tucker before the season starts.
Okay, we'll keep us updated on that. We'll kind of get back to you after Frankie gets through his thought. Thank you for bringing the show to a screeching halt.
This is important news, guys.
Show very killer Brian news. Goins.
Show killer Brian Goins.
However unlikely, technically speaking, the answer is yes, the Heat could make a trade for James Harden and PJ Tucker before the season starts. This is shocking
is
news.
That it? Guys. Is that it?
Clutch told me this would be awesome today.
Not only did you call our franchise player, you said he fucking sucks, but you just completely stepped over Frankie to say something that you could have said later. You totally stopped the show
this
for that.
This is what I'm good for.
Are you proud of yourself?
Saboteur.
Frankie, get back to signing Avery Bradley.
So he looked slow. Positionally, he was good. He takes a bet. If you watch Avery Bradley go over your screen, you're like, holy shit, what the fuck does Kendrick Nunn do with his life? The angle is so much sharper. It's so much cleaner. But he's... you know, he's just slow right now. I'm sure it'll be a lot better. You saw his activity with his hands. His shooting's not there. He hit like a little floater. So it's nice to see a little bit of his game. His mid-range has always, since he came into the league, has been really solid, especially off the catch. His three-pointer has been more of something he's catch and shoot only developed recently. Over the last couple of years as he's had to extend his range. But yeah, defensively he's slow, but he takes good angles and that's going to come back. His foot speed is going to come a lot back as he gets in better conditioning.
He's only 29. He's not that old.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's been in the league for like forever.
Feels like it. He sucks. I mean, he did suck. He fucking sucks.
I said it at the time. It was a really bad signing. I trust Pat Riley with anything. I trust him with my life. He's going to raise my firstborn. But this was a bad move by him. It's a fireable offense. And I don't think there's any coming back from it.
Oh. If he brings back Vonleh, you're in.
Vonleh has COVID, by the way, so they can't bring him in yet.
I felt bad that he got COVID and got cut.
Eventually.
Speaking of people who have COVID, Kendrick Nunn continues to suck. That was kind of disappointing because
that was a brutal transition.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Speaking of COVID, let's talk about the vaccine.
I want to talk about Kendrick Nunn, and then we're going to talk about the vaccine with all the player quotes. Okay, we're teasing this vaccine article in a second. But Kendrick Nunn sucking stuck up the joint. I think that he'll kind of get back to a level where he's a competent offensive player again. But like if he's not hitting that jumper, he really doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah, he looked better athletically than what we saw in the bubble. Nikias, friend of the show, Nikias Basketball News posted about it a couple times on his Twitter feed how much he looked better athletically, moved around a lot quicker. And he was getting to his spots. The shots weren't falling. But I feel like this is just the eye test, but I feel like Kendrick Nunn has only played well when he's playing with Jimmy or Justice. Like, I feel like when he's without anybody else that can create a shot, he's struggled for like his whole all of last season. And Tyler does a good job playmaking and stuff, but Kendrick was not comfortable creating his own shot on Monday night.
So that's really interesting that you bring up that point about Nunn, because that's something that we kind of talked about, that he's just better with the starters. So when Kendrick Nunn is when the Heat with Kendrick Nunn on the floor and Jimmy Butler off, they're -3 per 100 possessions. Not good, Bob. When they're together, they're +4, and when Jimmy without Kendrick, they're +9 per 100 possessions. So
okay, so we see,
yeah,
what should happen here.
He clearly is a guy that he's not. You know, in a way, he kind of reminds me of Josh in how he can initiate offense. Is that Richardson was never a guy who can bend a defense. He was always a guy that attacked a bent defense. And I think Kendrick is kind of the same. I think that he has utility as a guy who can really get to his spots. As you said, he's a good pull-up shooter. If he's in a rhythm, he's a guy that I think there's value in how he can attack a drop scheme. Like we saw against Milwaukee, even though he didn't have a good series, that you saw kind of the vision that Spo put him out there, because, you know, if you're going to get that cushion, he's a guy that's very willing. And he has a kind of a quick trigger on the mid range when he gets kind of to that 18, 15 foot range. So I think he'll bounce back and I think he'll play better. I think that, you know, there's some red flags with him in terms of kind of like how he functions and if he's just not his defense and not hitting the jump shot. It's just, there's a lot of bad, but like he does a lot of good and like he can score in bunches. So he's a very divisive player who I don't know how much value he has in the trade market. It would just seem like he doesn't have very much. It's kind of funny for a guy who made, you know, first team all rookie, second in rookie of the year voting.
Good, man. Before the bubble, I really don't understand what happened. I mean, he got COVID, but like,
he was never that good.
Yeah, he was. I mean, the red flags were there. He was a decent shooter. Like, he had the red flag
for most of the season. Then he hasn't really shot. I don't think he's shot 30% since the bubble from three.
I feel like the scouting report kind of came on him. The pull up threat is a lot less of a threat when you can't get to the basket. When like you're only going to the pull up, you know, it's easier to close out on that. And Kendrick has really been all about the pull up. You don't really see him attack the basket, you know, one on one. Like you said, it's on a bent defense and on a scramble. Yeah, that's when he's getting his attacks to the basket. So he's more of a two level scorer right now, and that takes away from his value and his.
So he should be a starter, is what we're all saying.
I think the ship has sailed.
So this is what's going to happen, guys. We're going to see Kendrick Nunn and Myers Leonard start off the season.
No, we won't. I think
Kendrick's going to drop 40 next game.
I think that ship has sailed. I think that ship has sailed.
I think that's going to be the starting lineup we're going to see next game.
I think Brian sees the vision.
Maybe next game, but I don't
think that's going to raise his trade value.
That's not going to start against Orlando. He's going to play off the bench and he'll probably play some with Goran, which is going to get tricky because him and Goran together, that's a combination that I really fear about their survivability on defense. Because they're the two guys that you kind of worry about most in pick and roll. So when Kendrick and Goran were on the floor together, they were -6 and they had a defensive rating of 116. Now, I'm not going to say that they won't learn to play together. They didn't play a lot together. It's only about 500 minutes. You know, the team was a lot better with Goran on and Kendrick off. They're +7. And when Kendrick is on and Goran off, they're +4. So both positives, but they're just much better with Goran. So I think what makes sense is kind of moving off Kendrick at some point in the season. I just don't really see the fit on the team. However, getting value for him is going to be tough, especially in a league that everyone has guards. Nobody's really looking for guards. I mean, maybe like Philly would like a guard with a little zip, but I don't really see a deal there. Miami would like a four, like even if it's just a backup four who's a little bigger. I don't know if Kendrick Nunn can get you that. It's going to be tough.
I think Kendrick Nunn with Tyler Hero can get you James Harden.
that is a dream. All right. So much anticipated. We're going to talk about this COVID article, USA Today. Jack is doing, our homework is paying off. Jack is this person in the back of the class saying, teacher, you forgot to click the homework. Me. Yeah, Brian and Frankie didn't
I'll
read because they have no guts.
Say.
So
I'll copy
hey,
off
hey.
Of
I when we started, I was totally reading it.
You're the person that does his homework in the middle of class before they have defense. To turn it in.
I'm doing it in homeroom all the time.
This fucking guy. Shout out to Alex Toledo, our professional screw up. You can hear him on Five on the Floor. He kind of sent me the article and told us to that we should talk about it because it was really interesting. And he was right.
It's his fault.
It's his fault. Alex texted me today in the afternoon. He's like, yo, this article is really good. You should read it. And I was like, you know what? We're going to talk about this. We were going to talk about Rohan's and Nat Carty's article today that he wrote for Sports Illustrated on Jimmy Butler, but he's going to come out tomorrow. So make sure to get in the Discord server so you can ask us questions to ask Rohan. And we're going to be live here on twitch.tv/MIHeepy tomorrow at 7:30 to talk to Rohan about his article on Jimmy Butler. And Rohan says that he has a lot of Jimmy Butler stories that he didn't write. So we're excited for that. Rohan is a great friend of the show, and he's one of the smartest people in this covering the league. So be on the lookout for that tomorrow. So talking about this article, Jack, because you did your homework, I thought it was interesting because they did a lot of reporting, kind of talking to players and talking to coaches and people in the league on how they feel about the vaccine. Now, I think culturally, and Alf talked about this a little bit on his podcast, Light-Skinned Opinions, which you can check out. That's a really good show. And also Alf talked a little bit about that on our post-game stream about, you know, maybe some players are not going to be so comfortable taking the vaccine, right? And I think that there's a distrust kind of between these big pharmaceutical companies and Black people and more disenfranchised people. And I thought the players really articulated that really, really well. Like Doc Rivers, Jack, was like, he didn't think it was a conspiracy. He was kind of really open to it. And a guy like Miles Turner isn't really so like down with the idea. He said, I've had the antibodies. We're getting tested on the regular. So I'm doing whatever it takes to keep myself as safe as possible. But as far as getting the vaccination, I personally don't want to roll with the first round of things. I want to see how things roll out. And it's a lot of quotes like that from a lot of players, Marcus Hall, Chris Paul, like a lot of guys. Jack, I was kind of wondering what you thought of the piece and like if there's anything, any anecdote from it that you really liked.
I thought what was cool about it is that it had a wide range of perspectives that seemed in line with more or less the broader population's perspective on the vaccine. So it was kind of cool that like the NBA population's opinions were reflective of the broader populations. And it kind of was a cool look at how people are feeling about the vaccine as it gets rolled out. Yeah, there was a broad range and reasons for skepticism that were based in perspectives that maybe I wasn't able to appreciate. I think Austin Rivers, or was it Doc Rivers?
It was Doc.
It was Doc. Okay. I mean, yeah, he mentioned the experience of Black people with government testing.
And syphilis in specific.
Tuskegee.
Yeah, the Tuskegee experiments.
Are you scared of pronouncing Tuskegee? Because I was too.
I have never heard that.
Yeah, I'm pronounced. Also like on like halfway through
a bottle of wine.
Like, 2 a.m. for me, so I'm pretty drunk right now.
Jack is in Spain, by the way. So the quote that Jack's referring to, the Doc Rivers, is, let's be honest, I understand the suspicion as well, especially being a Black man, and how do you say it, Frankie?
Tuskegee
Institute, Rivers said. We don't forget stuff like that. From 1932 to 1972, a government-backed syphilis study took place in Macon County, Alabama, where Black men were told that they were receiving free medical care. In reality, they were denied treatment for syphilis. Like, so I understand, like, there's, you know, everything can be seen through prisms of race and how kind of the ruling class and how white people have really disenfranchised Black people in every kind of capacity, not just economically or not just with mass incarceration, but even, you know, as we see like in the medical industry with medication. Derek Favor says, I'm a guy that doesn't really take any vaccines. I try to stay away from a lot of medicine, but I don't really have an answer for this one right now. It's a big thing going on with the news and obviously with the COVID situation. I don't want to say anything out of line, but for me personally, I'm a person that stays away from that kind of stuff. And I think that there's a lot of people that justifiably are scared, don't trust these powers and don't trust the government. Whether I, as a white Hispanic, have a different experience with it or not, I do think that, you know, Jack, I think we talked a little bit about this in our group chat, that we kind of felt that maybe players might be kind of like almost like spokespeople for the vaccine, like that they would be taking it on like we kind of black mirrored this, right? Talked it through that we thought that maybe some guys like LeBron or whatever would be kind of spokespersons for this. because it's such a, you know, NBA kind of has like that whole progressive league aura and everything. And I thought this article was kind of interesting to dispel some of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're allowing people to be pretty free with their opinions, which is cool. I think that's, I mean, what's so great about the NBA, what so many people love about the NBA is that, you know, for better or worse, or I mean, almost purely for better, NBA players speak their minds more freely than any other kind of athlete in the league. Like NFL players don't get this kind of platform to talk about issues that stretch so far beyond the sport. And because they had this very public, I mean, the NBA and the story of COVID is so closely intertwined. I mean, Rudy Gobert is the story that when it came out was when America realized that COVID was serious because the NBA shut down.
It was, he was, in a lot of ways, America patient zero.
He was. I remember exactly where I was when I learned that he had COVID and that the NBA was shutting down and what it like, what the feeling in the room was then. And then the, with the bubble, I mean, you can't tell the story of COVID in America without the NBA. So it only makes sense
that we kind of get their Terrence Jones,
feelings on it. Nobody in the article was like an anti-vaxxer. I mean, I guess somebody was.
Derek Favors.
I don't remember.
Derek Favors, yeah.
Was it Derek Favors? Derek Favors kind of said, I don't fuck with that vaccine.
I don't believe in medicine. Stuff,
which is thing.
I mean, we know Michael Porter Jr., man. Let me tell you. Woof. And Terrence Davis.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought there was a lot of pretty well thought out perspectives. I thought Rick Carlisle's perspective was pretty sober and even headed about the question of whether you should require it, whether it makes sense to require it, and then comparing it to the flu vaccine and the CBA's position on the flu vaccine, where it's highly recommended but not required.
So like James Jones said that the Suns aren't going to mandate it, but they're going to leave it up to the Players Association and league to decide that.
Yeah. And Chris Paul said that the Players Union hasn't decided anything. They're all researching it really. I thought Marcus Solis and Mike Malone had similar perspectives about the ethical decision in this regards of whether they should be prioritized over healthcare workers and other of workers that would probably be more beneficial to the public.
I loved Mike Malone's quote. Me and Giancarlo were talking about that right before the stream started. I thought Mike Malone's comment was so funny because he said, well, I don't really want to be skipping the line in terms of PCR COVID testing. And it was weird because it's like, that's totally what you did during the bubble. I don't have like a huge problem with that, but that's exactly what they were doing. They were skipping the line. Like in Florida specifically, there were stories about this that like, I don't know, they kind of helped create kind of a bottleneck a little bit with
testing.
A lot of the PCR testing was going to NBA players every day instead of
you didn't shout me out.
You know, people who don't play for the NBA. Which, you know, I don't have a strong opinion on, but when you say something like that, if you're Mike Malone, you kind of, it sounded really innocent and like, oh, I don't want to take up testing, but like, that's exactly what happened.
Yo, shout out to KT4177. Thanks for the Prime sub. We really appreciate that. If you guys Prime sub, we want to think of some... We want to think of some creative things to kind of give to guys, people who sub. I mean, we're going to work on emotes soon too, by the way. I know it's a weird transition from COVID talk.
I've been staying home. Like if you guys have any ideas
for some emotes, shoot us a tweet at MIEBeat on Twitter. We'd love to hear your suggestions. We're going to commission some artists. We have a
personal life. We have a lot
kind of in the works for that. To kind of close out this conversation on the vaccines and everything. Like I think all of us are pretty pro vaccine. I think I'll inject it in my fucking eye if I have to. I miss society. I've been very COVID safe. I don't go anywhere. Like, again, we're not scientists. Like, I've talked to, like, my friends who are, like, biochemists and doctors or whatever. Like, it's not for us to say one way or the other. I think that we're pretty pro-vaccine. I guess it was kind of to say, kind of, despite the article showing a lot of skepticism and NBA players showing skepticism. Even Monty Williams is surprised. And, like, again, like, these are people with leadership position. Like, you know, especially Black coaches who are so respected in the league by the players, especially a guy like Monty fucking Williams, who everybody loves, like, one of the nicest guys in the league, is, like, kind of, like, showing some skepticism. Doc kind of talking to skepticism. These are dudes that are respected, you know, and I thought that was interesting, and I thought it was,
but
so
give the- I'll stop you. I mean, it's not just, I mean, it wasn't just like, I thought what was interesting was because of it's outside of my perspective, like Doc River, the statement that Doc Rivers had about the history of Black people and their relationship to the government, and specifically with pharmaceutical testing. I thought that was very interesting, but by no means is it a uniquely Black position that they're skeptical of the vaccine.
No, I didn't mean that. I kind of meant their relationship.
No, I know that's not what you're saying. I just want to clear up because I think what the specific quotes that they got in the article were well-reasoned points of skepticism rooted in historical oppression.
Yeah.
But also, I think there are probably plenty of white people who they didn't quote in the article who are skeptical of the vaccine because Bill Gates made it and it's going to microchip me.
Gordon Hayward.
It's going to turn me into a freaking alligator.
Max Struss.
Yeah.
That's mean. I don't mean that. I don't know. We're just making shit up. I want to kind of Alf in the chat said Black people aren't anti-vaccine; they're anti-American government. It's, and Tiffany said facts, and I would defer to them. So I just want to read the article. It's on USA Today. It's really good. The article is called "Some of the NBA Raised Questions About the Vaccine and Whether the League Can Make It Mandatory" by Mark Medina. It's really good. It was published today. Check that out on USA Today.
There is some news actually did come out today because obviously the NBA has been doing daily COVID tests for players.
Yes.
They released the weekly results for, I guess, the past 7 days.
And like little stats.
There's only been one case of like the 500 or 600 some NBA players.
It's the little stats. We have advanced stats.
The one case.
I saw the guy that got cut.
It wasn't your boy that got cut?
No, I think that was before that.
The Hoosier?
No, wavered. Chill out. Yeah.
But if it was, then yes, Noah Vonleh would be one. But I don't think it was him. I think it was somebody else.
So, yeah. So, remember, everybody, check out the Hangover Time post-game show Friday on YouTube. So go to Miami Heat Beat. Subscribe on YouTube. That is important. So you could check that out. I don't know who Phoebe Bridges is. Who is that?
We love Phoebe Bridges here at Heat Beat. Listen to Phoebe Bridges.
Who
is
that?
Soundtrack to 2020. Wonderful singer. Boy Genius was a great collaborative project that she put out. She just put out a Christmas LP.
We need to take away the whiteboard from you. You're reckless. We can't.
I'm a tyrant. I bought it yesterday.
You cannot be trusted. Sub to us here on Twitch. So follow, subscribe, give us all that good shit. Follow us on Twitter at MIA Heapie. Frankie, you want to say something before we get on our way out?
Yeah, guys, important news. This is a reminder. Fuck the Celtics.
Ooh.
Nothing came out. I just feel like we haven't said that in a while. It needs repeating.
Didn't they lose the Sixers yesterday?
Fucking washed. Washed bad Stevens.
They don't have a play card. Whoa, what's going on?
What's happening? Is there a fucking raid at your house, Frankie?
That's the Celtics coming for your ass.
I don't know.
That's Danny Ainge and his posse.
I'm around the whites.
Block is
I live
hot.
Around white people now.
Hey, I have to address something in the chat. Alf, talk shit about Tom Cruise again. I will meet you at Steve's Pizza. He has never made a bad movie in his fucking life.
The stream ended. I ended it on Frankie's joke.
Ah, fuck you.
Did you get the sirens?
Yeah. No, that's when I ended it. When the whole block is hot joke. Good shit, guys.
Oh, fuck.
Heck, is that cashmere?
What?
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.